Exposing GOP hypocrisy. The Rick Smith Show.
Right there, the Republican Party platform. I want it all. I want it now. I look at this horrible health care bill, the Paul Ryan health care bill, the Republican Party's platform health care bill. This is their priority, folks. And to me, the number one issue in this next election cycle is making those pushing this poison accountable, making those who pushed this ideology of destroying Medicaid, of destroying health insurance, of harming the many at the expense, well, at our expense to enrich the few, should be held accountable. And nowhere in this country is that more important than in Wisconsin's first congressional district, Paul Ryan's congressional district, which is why this week we're going to talk to all of the candidates, the declared candidates, about their positions, what their vision is, and why Paul Ryan's got to go. And I've got one of those candidates, David Yankovich, is the, my understanding, the first declared candidate in that district. David, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm not good. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm ticked off. I look at this monstrosity, this horrible piece of steaming garbage, and I'm ticked off today. Can you tell?
I can. Good. Stay ticked off. That's what we need. Wisconsin is ground zero. This district's ground zero, the center of the political universe right now. And gerrymandering, health care, just about everything that's happened in this country, this state is where it's coming from, where the test cases are. Stay mad. Stay engaged.
Now, I've been saying for a while, David, that this health care bill, this is the brainchild of the Ryans, and we have to take those people have to go. They're not in the mainstream of political thought. These extremists, these radicals, they've got to go, which is why I'm glad to see that there are people ready to take him on. Tell me your thoughts on what a health care bill should look like.
Well, first of all, he has to go for sure. And that's why I picked up my entire life and moved here to do it. The health care bill, in my eyes, it should be Medicare for all. Everybody should be on Medicare. It's pretty simple. We can get more creative with it if we want to, but I want to see everybody in this country be able to go to the doctor and be able to be seen. I want to, if something happens and you're in a horrible car accident or you get cancer or whatever life throws at you, you know, you don't have to also worry about the crippling debts that are coming with these. I mean, there was just a mother who went viral posting her son's open heart surgery bill, you know, and it was $800,000 or something. And if she wouldn't have had health care, you know, she'd be bankrupt. And then, of course, you know, I've shared my story with your listeners before, but, you know, just last month, well, month and a half ago now, my mom went into a coma and she was in the ICU, and, you know, 18 days, and insurance companies are trying to influence and force their way into me making a decision based on my financial future by letting my mother go. So, I mean, you know, my vision for this is that, you know, everybody's on Medicare. Everybody has coverage.
And by let her go, you mean?
They wanted me to remove her from the machine and let her die. And they said that if she, had she, basically she would have, David, the best case scenario is if she comes off of this, she'll be brain dead. Worst case scenario, you know, she'll be with the mentality of a 6-year-old child who won't, you know, be able to function. That was what the options were. And they said, so basically you really don't have a choice in this matter. Like, there's not one good option, but they couldn't give me a definitive answer on how much damage was done. So I gave her a chance to fight and she came back from it. You know, now I'm talking to her for an hour, 2 hours a day. She's 100% back. And if had I listened to him, she'd be dead. And it would have been my fault. And I'd have to live with that.
And nobody should have to go through that. But, you know, here's the thing. You know, we hear a lot from the right winger. We don't want government between you and your doctor. Yet I keep asking that question. Do we want insurance companies who have a profit motive between me and my doctor or you and your mother's doctors? I mean, or influencing the doctors? Because, I mean, you know, we just talked to Propane Jane a minute ago who said, look, I'm making decisions on what drugs to administer and what things to do based on whether these folks can afford it. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly where we are. But, you know, the thing is the Republican Party always wants to go back to the past. And this is one of those times where, let's do it. Let's go back to the past. Let's go back to pre-1973 when we had community hospitals, when the insurance companies didn't rule the game and it wasn't, you know, guys who were bean counters and are counting how much money they can make off of it, when it wasn't privatized. It was a community hospital where you went there and it was a doctor who ran the hospital and made those decisions, not an insurance company. They want to go to the past so bad, let's do it. Let's go back to the past and go there then.
I'm all in favor of the idea of community hospitals and the community taking care of itself. That just seems like sane, rational thought. But, you know, you look at this healthcare bill. There isn't a lot of sane, rational thought in it. It's about, again, it's a huge, huge tax break. And then put this on top of the tax break that we're giving them by killing people with the healthcare bill. Then they're going to get an actual tax cut that they're looking for and a budget that's going to do another tax cut. If there's any reason for someone like Paul Ryan to be thrown out of Congress, I got 1, 2, and 3.
In this district right here, there are, and this is a tweet that I just had a while ago, but there are 307,000 people with pre-existing conditions under 65. There are 710,000 people in my district. Almost half of my district already is basically going to see premiums, you know, go up by 750%, or they're not going to have coverage at all. That's half of the district, and that's not even including the people who, you know, are over 65 with pre-existing conditions. That's not counting all the other issues that happen. We're looking at a lot of really horrible stuff here if this thing goes through. And the Republican Party and Paul Ryan is the architect. That's why, you know, he's the architect of this bill. And I came to take him out because my mom got sick and, you know, I got mad enough. But it's the entire party. We need a blue wave in 2018 because it's not just Paul Ryan. It is every single Republican willing to vote for this piece of trash.
Yep. And it's the ideology. And look, I mean, you know, I appeal to the sane and rational among the GOP ranks. And say, look, take your party back somewhere to sanity, because I don't, you know, look, personally, I don't know many people who are going, screw those poor people, let them die. We need tax cuts for the rich. I don't know that. I don't know people who are saying, hey, we need more tax cuts for the wealthy and the heck with the infrastructure and the heck with education. I don't know those people. But
those voters didn't vote for that. You know, I talk to Republicans every day and, you know, they voted for jobs. And this is also a job killer. It's going to be an economy killer. It really will be. Political rhetoric. This is really happening. I mean, if you have people who are this much in debt, they're not going to be able to afford to go to work, you know, because they're going to be too sick from being in the hospital. It's just, I mean, it's going to hurt the economy. I mean, I read something that it's going to be like $1 billion or something in the next 5 years, and over the next, you know, 10, it's going to be $10 billion or $10 trillion, something like that. It's going to be an economy crusher.
Yeah.
And it's not even just people's lives that are going to be lost. That's what we're screaming about, because, you know, however, money's money, but you can't put the value of someone's life on the line. You know, but that's what we're looking at here. It's horrible.
It's just crazy. And at the end of it, you've got to look at the people and the ideology who are bringing this. Because I saw a report that said, you know, somewhere between 500,000 and 1.3 million jobs are going to be lost because of this. And you start going, you're right, it's an economy crusher on so many levels. And, you know, these are the people who told us they're the business people. They know how to run an economy. They know how to run it right into the ground. Well, let me ask you a couple of questions on different topics, because we put it out to the Twitter sphere to say, hey, what should we ask the candidates in the first congressional district there in Wisconsin? And we got a whole bunch of responses. One of them by Dawn, she tweets, you know, what's your number one hot button issue and how do you plan to negotiate support for it across the aisle?
That's a really good question. Don, my number one hot button issue is healthcare. Not just because the healthcare debate's going on right now, but, you know, because my mother's story and what happened before that, my hot button issue is science. So, right now what we have to do, we have to take back Congress. We have to be able to start fighting for our turf back again. To reach across the aisle, I don't know what the Republicans are going to be willing to do in 2018. But I know if we pick up 300 seats or 200 seats, we're in a much better bargaining place to negotiate than we are right now, where everything's just getting forced down our throat. I want to work with Republicans, of course, to strengthen the health care bill that we already have. But I don't know what they're going to be willing to do. I really don't. So right now, my goal is just to keep people alive and fight for everybody.
And for me, I would my point would be just to get Paul Ryan out as a, just the symbolism with ousting him in that ideological position, I think is so important, which is why I think this is the national race this election cycle.
This election, Paul Ryan is going down. We have three amazing candidates. I mean, everybody's strong in different ways, all working together to take him down. This isn't like other elections. There's a lot of artillery that's in here. This is ground zero for the biggest race in the country, and we are going to take them down this time. This isn't like an if or, you know, how are we going to do it? We are, and all of us are committed to doing that.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with David Yankovich. If you want to check out his website, we've got a link at therickssmithshow.com. Just go to davidyankovich.com. Terry tweets, what's your position on funding charters and vouchers with public money intended for public schools that serve all children? Curious your thought.
I'm all for public education. I don't like when we have private schools and it goes from public money. I think that that's a cop-out. You have to invest in the education that you have. Our schools right now have textbooks from 1920, 1930, it's sometimes the 60s and the 70s, and they're so far behind. We have to invest in public education. It's one of the bigger issues that I want to talk about here coming up, especially as we get into the fall. But in terms of charter school, and that, I feel like that is a way for politicians to say that they're going to cop out on the issue rather than put it into public school funding. They would rather put in their, the charters.
Yeah. And my thought's always been, this is that first step towards privatizing the public education system. And I've always said if the working class of this country loses public education and it's based on, whatever criteria they throw out to us, you look at Betsy DeVos saying she wouldn't go after an Indiana school because they would discriminate against the child who may have a relative in the house who may be of the LGBT community is just insane to me. But again, it's about dividing, conquering, privatizing. It's just to me that simple. Another question, Brown-Tailed Hawk asks, do recent Democratic losses in Michigan and Wisconsin have a lot to do with right-to-work laws and anti-union measures? Curious your thought.
Absolutely they do. Absolutely, because our messaging isn't as good as the Republicans. Scott Walker, went straight to war with right to work. It was a big issue here. They were able to convince Republican voters that it was Obama's fault. absolutely these issues that you're seeing and the losses that we're seeing in these have to do with those, but not for the reasons that you would think. Democrats have to get better on their messaging. You have to have a singular message. If you talk to a Republican right now and you ask them what they stand for, they'll tell you exactly what it is. But Democrats, they'll tell you a list of 15 pages of what it is. And we have to be able to sell it more, especially to Republican voters. So that's what I do. I go around and I talk to Republican voters and I ask them questions. And actually, I just had this conversation last night with somebody who she was telling me that she lost her job 1 month into Obama taking office in 2009, and she blamed him for her job loss. She was in construction, and I tried to explain the housing crisis and how the economy was and everything. But the Republicans are so good at selling their message that she thought that was Obama's fault. So, absolutely those losses have to do with that, but for different reasons.
Let me ask you the part of this, because, Wisconsin is, again, on so many fronts, ground zero to a lot of the horrible things that have happened in this country. And all of the attacks on workers and on labor unions, the most recent major attacks started in Wisconsin back in 2011 and have spread like a cancer across this country. What's your position on labor unions?
Labor is the backbone of this country, and I'm not saying that as a political soundbite. It really is. I know one of my primary opponents is, a real big labor guy, and I appreciate that. So am I. I'm just not in a union. I grew up in a family of union members. But we wouldn't have the 40-hour work week. We wouldn't have the child labor laws that we do. We wouldn't have the minimum wage requirement. None of that would be here without unions and the fights that they put through for the last century. We absolutely, we have to back them up. We have to help them strengthen. we have to do everything in our power to get them back to where they were before.
You know, I look at this, David, and I'm hoping 2018 is a moment where a lot of working class values come back to the forefront, that we educate our children, we give people health care from cradle to grave to ensure that nobody falls through the cracks. And again, as I've said a number of times, my hope for President Obama was that reward to work, that, you know, if you work hard, you play by the rules, that you actually do get ahead. And I would like to see some bit of strengthening of our labor laws, because, look, at the end of the day, if you can't afford to put food on the table and a roof over your head, I don't believe you can participate in our democracy.
That's all anybody wants. Like, nobody cares about me being Republican or Democrat when I'm out once we start talking. Everybody wants to know, how are you going to help me feed my kids? How am I going to keep a roof over my head? You know, how am I going to be able to afford to live? I mean, those are the questions that you get. You don't get the – no one really cares about the D or R next to your name. And the Democrats' message for so many years has been in so many different places. We have to get back on a really strong, good message. And one of those messages that we need to have is, we're for unions. We're for workers' rights. You know, we are for helping and strengthening this. And I mean, you're absolutely right, Rick. I mean, we have to strengthen those laws and fight for unions again. And the Democratic Party, they walked away from that. They went to, you know, they went to Wall Street instead of being, you know, with the people who created Wall Street and built Wall Street. And I want to take us back there.
The website, davidyankovich.com. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. David, I wish you nothing but the best. And everyone the best, because, again, this to me is the race to watch. This is the symbolic race, if you will. This is important.
Oh, this is the biggest race in the country. It's the most important one, even for the symbolism of it. Just taking down the speaker, you know?
Yep. Give us a final thought.
Final thought. Right now, this health care bill is hanging in the balance. If everybody's out there and picks up their phones and calls their senator's office, it will make a huge difference. They are tracking these numbers. They're tracking the votes. If you have a senator who is on the fence, definitely call him. If you, you know, want to go to his office, you know, peacefully and tell them that you're against it. This is the most important bill because people literally will die if we let this thing pass. So that's the most important thing right now today.
David, I appreciate it. Best of luck, man. Thank you.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
Great talking with you, David Yankovich. Again, if you want to check out his website, davidyankovich.com, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com with how you can get involved. Again, so important. Quick break. Right back. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.